LNE Volume 3, a video by the great Franklin Carbonati, spanning Rome, Milan, London, New York, Paris, Barcelona, Montreal, and Toronto, featuring Rebo, Volvo, Snens, MTNW, Anger, Talker, Xavier, BO South, Lure, Rehab, Time, Zonic, XSM, Kemto, Salon, TD, Emno, Fayer, Toser, Nove, Stays, Villo, OSF, Waste, Soul, Zano, Guko, and What. The full video is now available on our Patreon. Enjoy. Peace, love, and respect. Peace, everybody. For the month of November 2021, we have a zine out with Savvy OTR featuring Merch, Labrat, Ruettes, Too Much, Leech, Yamo, and Dr. Dax. The zine is only available through our Patreon and documents Savvy's graffiti from trains to the high spots he's well known for. As many of you know, we've used all of our Patreon proceeds to help out people within our scene and communities in need. People who aren't rich, are in need of help, and are near and dear to our community. The bank was going to repo Charlie the Hustler's RV, so we paid off Charlie's debt to the bank so they didn't repo his home and make him homeless. Bat was arrested and acquired legal fees, so we paid Bat's legal fees and sent Bat zines to everybody who donated. We helped pay off the last of Hertz restitution money, so his 11-year-long parole could come to an end, using a print of Hertz Day in court to raise money for that. We donated 6,000 meals to the LA Regional Food Bank and sent Haler patches to everybody who donated. And most recently, we held a food drive in New York at Tompkins Square Park, handing out plant-based meals to the community, and sent out Rebo LNE zines to everybody who donated. That's what we've done with all of our Patreon proceeds. The link to our Patreon is in our Instagram bio, website, and description of this episode, and the Savvy OTR zines are only available through our Patreon. Peace and love to everybody who listens and everybody who supports us and helps make everything I just named possible. It's been nothing short of an honor and a blessing for us to be able to use this platform as a vehicle to helping out people who have helped us out when we needed it the most, as well as communities in need. So, enjoy the episode. Peace. Yo, Lunch.
Yo, what up?
Thank you so much, bro. We just drove across the country to be here, and we're just super happy to be here. And this place is pretty crazy. Like I was telling you, it'd be like a fucking fortune to have a place this big in New York for anything.
Yeah.
You'd literally have to be like a millionaire. Like, not even kidding. But, yeah, so I was just doing some research on Seattle, and I saw that the budget for the police here in 2020 was $410 million. Mm. But I don't really see that many cops around.
No.
I didn't really see, like, I think I saw, like, three. And in New York, like, every 10 minutes you see a cop. Do you know what the deal is for the punishment for graff here?
I mean, right now, I don't think there's much going on if you get wrapped up. Like, I think... From what I know, I mean, I was painting a little bit during COVID, and I won't say I, like, got caught, but they would definitely see you and just, like, drive off, keep it moving, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, at that point, it's like, I mean, the cops just have their hands full right now. They're, like, I mean, you're getting calls fucking all day long, car break-ins, all that shit, like, property crimes. So they're just, I think they also got rid of the graffiti cop, from what I know. There used to be one.
Well, like a vandal squad?
Yeah, just one guy. Yeah. Chris Young.
That's pretty rowdy. One guy. The graff scene here is... I mean, I'm here during...
He knew a lot of shit, but he's like... I don't know. He's fucking... What would I say? He's fucking like... He never really did shit. He would like drop his card off to people. He would just fuck with people, kind of. And he would like take people in, but... I know like in the... late 90s, like early 2000s, like Seattle was pretty buck, like with arresting people.
Mm.
Like you would get a year, like some of the older like BTM dudes, like I know they caught crazy cases, but I mean for right now, I know people have been caught and it's just like,
yeah, I heard, I saw in some interviews saying how like if you get caught in Seattle, first time can be a felony. This is a super old interview. It's interview. And I just remember being like, damn, yo, that's the place where you like where you do not want to get bagged up. You get caught one time, you get a felony. But then I come here and I see barely any cops and I see mad graff. Yo, like, I think, I mean, I might be biased, but, like, because I'm so used to New York, but I think this place straight up might have more graph than New York.
It's crushed.
It's crushed, bro.
Yeah.
And the highways are crushed,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they're just, like, they just put it on the back burner. And, like, I mean, they're starting to buff a little bit of stuff again. But it's just, like, it basically just got out of control, like, through COVID and then all the protests here, you know, that were going on with, like, the stuff on, like, CHOP is what they were calling it. And, like, that whole thing, like, they just, I mean, they just, like, not doing really shit about it right now.
Wait, what's CHOP?
CHOP was, like, the zone. It was, like, a no-police zone, I guess, or what they call it, an autonomous zone, where the cops, they took over the police station. They, like, kicked the cops out.
And who did, like, the civilians?
Yeah, like, the, I don't know really what, if it was, like, BLM, and then, I'm trying to think of, like, it was just, like, the people, basically, when, like, all the protests were going on for George Floyd. They basically just, like, took over and, like, made their own barriers. During the day, it was kind of like some Burning Man shit, you know? There's people kicking it, tents, like, hanging out in the park, like, on Capitol Hill. But at night, it got kind of weird. Like, there was dudes walking around with assault rifles, and there was, like, Proud Boys walking around with guns. Like, and we were up there, like, every night for a while just having big-ass bonfires.
Really?
Just, like, it was wild, though. Like, a bunch of homies came through, like, during that time, and, like, people were just, like, painting the police station and fucking kicked the cops out.
And nothing would happen.
Nothing happened. The cops are all sitting at a park, like, a mile away, just deep. Like, all the whole police force just sitting there.
Yeah, bro. This place seems pretty unhinged. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, just, like, our GPS barely knows how to take us around. And there's so much tense city.
Yeah.
Like, we were just driving around the highways and just seeing all the graph. And on the sides of them, there's just legit neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And then next to the neighborhoods, piles and piles of trash.
Yeah, you go under the freeway, man, like over here, like I-5, and it's fucking insane, like straight shantytown.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they just build their own shit, you know? They'll have like a deck, a fucking window, like built out of wood, like full, I don't know, full-on houses.
Yeah. Has it always been like that?
No, I mean, that area, like, there's always, I mean, I haven't only been in Seattle 6 years, so I can't really speak on, like, what it used to be like.
Yeah.
But, I mean, these days, like, from, because I've lived in, like, a lot of different neighborhoods here, and just seeing it, like, you kind of see the decline of, like, I mean, they're gentrifying things, like, really fast. Like, here's, like, crazy, you know, they'll knock down a whole block and build new shit, like, in less than a year. It'll be a whole new block, new commercial buildings, like all this shit. But the homeless shit is like going off still.
Is there some type of like programs for the homeless going on? Because like it seems like these dudes have like brand new like Mermont tents, you know what I mean? Like, are they like, what's going on with that?
I mean, they might. I know in Portland that if you burn your tent or if your tent catches on fire, that they'll give you a new tent, or they'll give you like a voucher for a new tent.
No way.
So fools on the freeway are just burning tents, like lighting their tents up when they're done with them. So I don't really know what the like program is. Like, I don't know too much about it, but I just know, like, I mean, Seattle's one of those places, like a liberal city. So like San Francisco, Seattle, like, you know, those, Portland's like that. So like, that's where you get kind of like the crazy amount of like homeless people come here, because it's like easy. You can live in your car here, like no one's gonna fuck with you.
Yeah, we were just at some parking lot, and right outside of it there was a whole village of people living out of their cars, living out of their RVs, and it was very clear that they had been there for a minute. They had whole things set up, like I saw people with used bookshelves just placed right outside of their car so they can use it. And it was like a neighborhood.
Yeah.
It was literally like
exactly
a neighborhood.
That's what it is. It's full on, like, they'll just pick a zone and, like, set up. And you just basically till they get kicked out. But they don't really get kicked out. Like, they kind of have to clean it up, I guess, is, like, kind of what happens. Or the city comes in and cleans it, gets all the trash, all the needles, all the shit out. And then they kind of just move to the next zone. And you're just like, all right, fucking, you know, you just, I mean, a lot of it's in the industrial areas and like, but like you'll see it in straight up neighborhoods.
Do you think they're ever going to push them completely out with like all this gentrifying going on? Like, you know, as the buildings get closer to where they're staying, like, do you think they're just going to push them out of Seattle completely? Because it seems like
I don't think so anytime soon. I mean, I think just in the United States as a whole, the homeless problem has gotten like out of control, because obviously like cost of living's going up, mental health, there's way more mental health issues, I feel like, you know. Like, you always saw, you know, there's people that have drug problems and that are living on the street and have mental health issues. But I feel like that has gone, like, I don't know if it's, like, certain drugs, like, meth particularly, that's, like, putting people kind of, like, over the edge. But shit is, like, fucking going crazy.
You know? No, it's absolutely going crazy. And one of the things, too, is, like, you know, in New York, we think, the people who live in New York think that New York has a homelessness problem. Which, of course, like, it does to an extent, but not even close to here. Not even close.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I can say about that, is not even close. Here, I noticed some of the tents that they put, they're not even attempting to put them in, like, say that I'm going to set up a tent. I'm going to try to set it up in a place where, like, not that many people will see me, maybe in the back behind a building.
Yeah.
You know, there's tents, like, straight up in the middle of the sidewalk, like, taking up the entire sidewalk so that you couldn't walk. That's how you know it's really crazy. Like, you could just... people just put them everywhere. Like, that's like kind of accepted here, I noticed.
I think another thing during COVID, they got rid of this parking law that was like 72 hours. And I think that was like a big thing that was going on, is that you could just park wherever and not get towed. Like, you could stay somewhere for weeks. And I think they got rid of that, but they're not, I don't think they're allowed to just go tow. If someone's living in an RV, that they can just tow it, you know?
They're not allowed to tow it.
Like, even if the person has, like, there was a guy I read about in the paper that had, like, $17,000 in tickets, and he's just still chilling, you know, like, in his RV. Like, he didn't care. But it's, like, I don't think they can really do anything, because that's what I'm saying. Like, in a liberal city, they have rights, which they should, in a sense, but they're also, like, there's not really, like, programs. Like, during COVID, they closed down all, like, the shelters. Which, I mean, those were, I don't think those were really, like, utilized as much. I mean, they have stuff, like, I guess, like, homeless shelters here, but not to the extent that they should, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
And we did see it a little bit, like, when they had to put people in hotels. Like, I think, you know, here in, like, San Francisco, I know they, like, had to put people up when, like, the first lockdown happened. So, you know, it's possible. You're like, they could attempt to do something about this. But they're not. And then, like, I mean, I don't really know. Like, you know, people were getting unemployment. They might still be. I don't really know what's going on with that. But, like, that was a factor, that people were just, like, stacking up, too. And then, you know, you're not, like, now I think the rent or the eviction moratorium or whatever that's called,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is up. So, like, people are getting kicked out. But I don't know. Some of this was just seemed like it's, like, it's like if you let it go, they'll come, you know? And that's...
No, absolutely.
That's kind of like what seemed to happen. And it's like... But I think it's like a... At least a, maybe it's just the West Coast, but it's like going on everywhere.
No, yeah. Was it like this before COVID? Like the tent city?
Not as bad. Like, you know, there would be zones. Like always in Seattle under the freeway, there's been a zone. Like they call it the jungle. And it's just like, you know, people would be posted down there. They'd build little houses and fucking live down there. But that was out of the way, like you're saying. Like, you would have to go there to kind of, like, see the shit. And now it's just, like, wherever you want.
Yeah, no, it's pretty nuts, yo. I was in SF skating, like, a few years ago. I think it was 2-3 years ago. And that homeless population was pretty all over the place. But the thing that like, strike me here, like I told you, was the tents.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen this many. And the thing is, like, I like, understand, like, you know, there's a people have rights and this and that, but there also is like a sense of abuse. I feel like there's a sense where, like, all right, you got rights, but now you're really forcing it.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, if you're thinking about, like, government programs and them supplying you with bread, like, if they give you, like, 10 racks, but then they're not allowed to tow you, this is, like, a fucking... This is some crazy shit, bro.
Yeah,
like, you can just park your car anywhere, and they're not allowed to tow you, but then also they give you 10 racks.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. It's nuts, yo.
It's, I mean, it's, like I was saying, it's, like, there should be programs, and, like, I don't think they can just, like... They should, if someone's living somewhere, just, like, be able to, like, kick them out,
mm-hmm.
outright. But, like, it sucks in the sense of, like, you know, you deal with this shit, like, even just as someone living here paying rent. Like everyone's getting their fucking car stolen. You're getting your car broken into every day. And it's, like, fuck. Like, and you kind of know, like, it's, like, oh, it's these dudes probably that are, like, right there, you know, doing the shit. Like, someone on my old car fucking drilled a hole in my gas tank. and stole a little bit of gas. Like, I was already on empty.
That is crazy.
I went to the gas station the next day, and the shit was just dumping out. I was like, what the fuck? But, yeah, they fucking drilled a hole. Like, one spark, they could have blown up.
Yeah, they could have blown the fuck up.
Yeah, they drilled it fucking.
It's right actually crazy that they didn't, if you think about
it. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? But, like, just for gas. Like, I mean, what is gas? Like, a gallon of gas? It's kind of expensive now, $4.50 or some shit. But for a gallon of gas, you're going to, like, risk your life, you know? It's just...
Yeah, what I've noticed in New York is, like, mostly the crime increased, you know what I mean? Like, I don't really know... They don't want, like, a visual representation of, like, homelessness, I feel like, in New York, because it's, like, they don't want that aesthetic, you know, of, like, people just sleeping on tents in the street. But I definitely noticed, like, the crime, especially, like, on the subway going up. But a big part of it was, is, like, during the pandemic, they shut down the subways at night, and a lot of the homeless people sleep on the trains. Yeah. So you did see, like, a influx of people just migrating to the streets, you know what I mean? I remember by, like, LES Skate Park, there was, like, cross street, all those people just, like, out of nowhere, you know what I mean? And it's, like, I feel...
Yeah, they have to go somewhere, man.
It's hard to say, like, let's get down to the root of the problem, you know what I mean? Like, it probably goes back to what you were saying about, like, mental health and, like, giving opportunities, but, like... What do you do when there's, like, thousands of people that, like, don't know what to do anymore? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they've essentially, in a way, like, given up.
Yeah, there's, you know, it's pretty people sad. Are lost yeah. in this society. Like, that's kind of what you're dealing with now. It's, like, I mean, we're seeing it just, like, mental health in general. It's just fucking through the roof. Like, suicide, depression, all that shit is, I mean, substance abuse. All that shit is, like, existing. I mean, it's always been around, but it's, like, really bad now. And it's, I mean, it's a factor of all those things. But also, you're, like, looking at, like, you know, they had the, it was kind of interesting with the whole thing here with the defund the police and, like, that autonomous zone. Is, like, these people were, like, you know, they're normal kind of, like, yuppie people that were saying defund the police. And the cops kind of just took a back burner to everything. Like, they wouldn't even respond to, like, calls, you know. Like, if you're calling the cops, like, oh, someone fucking broke into my house. They're not coming.
For real.
So we, like, got to see kind of what that happened, like, or, like, what came with that. And then these people are like, oh, no, we want the police again. They're basically, like, flipping it, you know. They're like, we want the police back, but defund them. I don't know. Which, I mean, I fucking don't like the police. But in a sense, like, I think there was talk about, like, creating kind of, like, a new version of the police that are, like, more, they, like, help with... mental health problems.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And, like, that's a really good idea. Like, having someone that specializes in it. Because, like, what happens, like, even if you take them to jail, you know, someone, like, goes to jail for some petty shit, like breaking a window and stealing a shit out of a car, you're not, like, taking care of any problems, you know? You're just, like, putting them through, and it costs a lot of money for the city to put them through a system, you know? So, I don't really know what the, like, solution is. And it's...
So, they defunded... Did they actually defund the police in Seattle? And also, so you know, the protests happened, they defunded it, and then they made an autonomous zone where cops just essentially weren't existing or weren't allowed, and then they took over the police station, and then they stopped responding to calls? Like, is that what happened?
It kind of happened, like, all at once. It was, like, I mean, the autonomous zone thing just kind of started up, and it was, like, in the news as, like, some, like, Antifa shit, you know? Like, and people were, like, calling me, like, what's up in Seattle? And it wasn't, like... I mean, it was kind of crazy. Like, when you think about it now, like, we're like, oh, that shit was pretty buck. You know, like, dudes walking around with assault rifles. There was, like, some local rapper guy that they were calling a warlord. And he was, like, walking around, like, with, like, a crew of dudes with assault rifles, like, every night, like, patrolling. And I don't know. The shit was, like, crazy. It was just the weirdest time. Like, you're like, what is going on? But I was kind of like, I mean... The protest was a good thing. Like, we saw good things come out of it. But, like, it was just funny. Like, in somewhere like Seattle. Seattle's, like, pretty safe city. And, like, you saw kind of, like, once they, like, opened the floodgates, like, crime just was, like, crazy here. Like, not, like, maybe violent crime went up, but, like, mostly just property crimes. That's why you're seeing all the graffiti, you know, that's, like, just everywhere. Like, all that shit. It was, I mean, it was good for that. You're like, oh, I can go... paint hella graffiti and, like, no one's gonna care. But
I'm just thinking about if they were to do some autonomous zone, no cops, no answering calls shit in New York, what the fuck would happen? It would get so bucks so fast. Like,
yeah,
like, you know, New York doesn't have that homelessness problem to the extent that Seattle does, but, like, we don't have a shortage of people who have mental health problems who are on the MTA every single day. Like, yo, people legit will be sitting on the train and some dude will just come up to them and start raping them straight up, like on the MTA, like every single day. Yeah. Or like you'll be at an ATM and some dude will just come up from behind you with a hatchet and chop you.
Yeah.
So if there was no cops, dude, I don't know what would happen, honestly.
That's the thing. You need to have a solution for, like, it's like, I think you should change the way, like, police basically, like, are trained and, like, what their purpose is. Because their purpose, like, now is, like, they just kind of, like, rack up money. It's like a money thing, you know?
Well, yeah, $410 million.
Yeah.
You're, like, and there was, I thought, I think there was only, like, I think I saw there was no more than 2,000 cops in Seattle.
Yeah.
And $410 million. So, aside from paying all of them, where is that money going, bro? It's going somewhere. Like, someone is racketeering at the top mad hard.
Yeah.
And you know what it is? Like, everybody I talk to on this show and just in general, they all say the same shit. Like, you know, we need a... like, there needs to be some sort of solution, a change in, like, shifting it from this to that. And there's a lot of abusive... Like, everybody agrees.
Yeah.
And then, like, we're legit not able to do anything about it. Like, we live in this so-called democracy, but we're not able to... Like, if everyone agrees on this, why is there not some...
It's a reactive solution instead of a proactive, you know? They're, like, reacting, like, when shit popped off here, they're like, okay, like, the, I mean, the mayor, I think, was, like, behind kind of the, like, defunding or, like, taking out some of the programs, like, within the police. Like, she was down with it. And, like, so they're, like, reacting because they're, like, the people here are pissed. Like, we got to do something. But then it kind of, like, calmed down. And now, like, I don't know what the fuck's going on, you know? I'm not... like the most well-read person on, like, I try to kind of stay out of that stuff and I'm just live my life. But like, I mean, I deal with it as like someone that lives in the city, you know, you're dealing with crazy shit going on all the time, you know?
Yeah. I know that this year is the year that they had the most violent crime in Seattle. And it's, they stopped prosecuting, not only like the police, but also in the courts. I know they stopped prosecuting people. And, you know, if you take away, there are people in this world who, if you take away punishment and like, there's no, the only reason that they're not doing buck shit is because of punishment. Like, there are people, not, there's, you know, it's like, not that like there's a lot, but they're like, even just a small percentage can make a ill difference. It's like one writer could do like 200 hollows in one night. Yeah. It doesn't have to be a ton of them. Like, for a small town, 200 hollows in one night, like, you would realize it right away. But when that 200 hollows isn't hollows and it's like stabbing people in the face,
yeah,
you're like, yo, what the fuck is happening? Like, this is crazy. So what do you think, that the police are necessary in society, like, to an extent? What would happen to public safety if there wasn't? Or what do you think about that? Which
I think,
is funny, because
I think
ahead, bro.
I think like they serve a purpose in a sense, you know, that like they're there to, like, I mean, fight crime, whatever that is, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they're there for. And I think like if they got rid of them, we would be fucked for a while. So it's like, I think, I mean, it's like, it's kind of one or the other. It's like they're either just putting a shitload of people in jail and prison for like dumb drug offenses, or they're like not doing anything. So it just needs to be like, the whole society needs to be restructured.
It literally needs to be restructured.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, like I said, it's kind of like they react to, like, they're like, oh, we're going to do this now. But like, nothing really sticks. Like, you just see it and it's like, I mean, like, I lived in the Tenderloin, like, the whole time I lived in San Francisco. And that place is, like, structured, like, it's where you go to buy drugs. If you get out of prison in California or, like, Northern California, like, San Quentin, they'll give you housing vouchers to go stay in the single-room occupancy homes in the Tenderloin. So they basically get out of prison, they give someone a housing voucher to go to, like, the most drug-infested neighborhood in San Francisco and go live there. And it's like, what the fuck is that? Like, you're basically just create the revolving door of prison, you know? Like, you're going to go back. So, I mean, that was a good thing with the COVID, though, is they did let a lot of people out of jail that were just in jail for bullshit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really think, like, jail's the answer. Jail doesn't do anything. But, I mean, these, like, state-funded rehabs and shit don't really do much either. Like, or the mental health services. Like, if you want, like... like, I tried, I don't, like, have health insurance, and I was like, oh, I, like, should, like, go to therapy, you know? And, like, the shit that they offer is, like, brain dead. You're like, this is what you're offering, you know? Like, I don't know, it's kind of, like, it just fucked up. You're like, all right, that's, that kind of, like, goes to show that you can't really get any help. And it's like someone like, you know, like I'm not living on the streets. Like if think of if you come from like living on the streets, how hard it would be to like actually, because that's what people say. Why don't they get a job and then like get a place to live? Like that's like kind of what some people are saying. And it's like, think of how hard that would be. Like if you're living on the streets, addicted to drugs or having mental health issues, to like get a fucking apartment and a job and money.
Like, no, it's like pretty much impossible.
Impossible.
Like, your cards are already so downstacked, and whether that be by your fault or not, like, your cards are downstacked, period. Like, aside from how it happened, like, your frame of mind is so far removed from being so structured to the point where you can, like, get a job, save money, sign these papers, find that, like, you're not going to do that, bro.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. So, but I feel like, do you think this is a place where homeless people come to because they know that there's more slack than other places?
Yeah. For sure. I think that's like what happens in the small towns in Washington is they tell the homeless, the people that are homeless there, to go to Seattle. Or maybe I've just heard that, but like I think that's real. Like where I grew up in Santa Cruz, California, like that was a thing. I know like in Santa Cruz they used to like drop homeless people off because they had like a lot of rights there, you know, in that town. Very liberal town. Like, and so they would like drop them off or give them bus tickets from these like small suburb towns, like go here or go to San Francisco. And I think that's same thing kind of happens here because they know like you can go to Seattle and probably just get by, like, you know, you can live in an RV or a tent and like you can go like rack or whatever you need to do
to, can, like, can you how's racking over here, bro?
I mean, I think it's pretty much a free-for-all, like,
really.
Yeah, I mean, I know, like, I was just in San Francisco and they had the candy bars in 7-Eleven were even locked up. Like, everything's locked. And I seen a dude when I was there go into Walgreens, like, when they were closed, come out with, like, a laundry basket full of shit. And the security guard goes and chases him down. And, like, the security guard gave him, like, the toilet paper. He had, like, a big thing of toilet paper. He let him keep the toilet paper and took the other shit. And the dude's following the security guard with the toilet paper going, like, give me my fucking shit back. Like, just like, you know, like you get caught stealing, you're usually I'm gonna get out of here.
Yeah,
dude's
yeah.
like trying to go back in the store and get his shit. He's like, that's mine, I'm taking it. You know, I don't know, there's like dudes on riding into Walgreens on bikes. But I think it's like that here too. It's like, I don't think anything happens, you know.
That's so wild, yo. Like we went into REI just to get like tents and shit for just like we're gonna be driving all throughout the country.
Yeah.
And we're just not trying to pay for hotels, so we try to get like waterproof tents and just like sleeping bags. We tried sleeping on the way here at some rest stop, like outside. We have like these like sleeping mats, and it was just so brick that we just couldn't. So I'm like, yo, I'm gonna get like this crazy North Face thermos sleeping bag so I can so I don't have to pay $100 a night for a hotel, like if I'm gonna be out for like the month and stuff. And like, we went into this one across the street from REI, and there was, like, a sleeping bag for $600, and I'm like, $600, bro, I'm about to just, like, you know what I mean? Like, walk out with this. And then we were like, let's go. They were like, oh, REI has a better selection. So I'm like, okay, let's go to REI. And you know, probably know the one we're talking about. It has a whole fucking crazy entrance. We go in, and way cheaper stuff, right? But, like, still pretty good quality, but still pretty expensive. Like, if you're not a camper and you don't know about that shit, and you see $200 for a sleeping bag, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So then I'm looking at it, and I'm like, yo, like, like I wonder if you could just like walk out with this. And then I started thinking about, like, I saw like Arc'teryx jackets and just windbreakers, like stuff that riders would take.
Yeah.
And also I'm thinking about all the tent city, and I'm like, yo, people, these tent city fools probably really rack this shit. And we see this G.I. Joe motherfucker with like an assault rifle, dude, at a tent store.
Yeah.
He has an assault rifle. Yeah.
Yeah.
An assault rifle at a tent store.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, oh, dude, these tent city dudes and the riders who took all the fucking jackets, like, dude, it's probably mad hard to rack here. I pictured all the graph I saw and all these dudes boosting shit. I'm like, yo, it's probably so hard to rack here. In New York, you're never going to see a dude with an assault rifle for a tent store.
I'm surprised, actually, I got that hit there.
Yeah, I could. Oh, in New York?
Yeah.
Nah, dude, New York, you'd think.
Yeah, you'd think they'd have it, but.
You would literally think, like, there's a Whole Foods downtown that everybody boosts from, like, skaters, everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows. And there's nothing. And it's been there for years.
Yeah, just, like, still.
Yeah, but then here, the REI had a soldier. Like, it was a soldier. That's, like, the best way to describe him. He was a soldier outside, and his job is when someone racks something, like, do something about it. Yeah. Like, that's what he's going to do. Or he's just there to intimidate.
Yeah, I think that's probably more what it is. Because, like, I think, I mean, I'm not like a crazy, like, I don't rack all crazy, you know, paint and stuff once in a while, but it's, from what I know, like, they just don't, they can't really do shit, but I think when you get into, like, the higher ticket items, then they can, you know, or they might, but that's, like, what they just kind of have it locked down. They're like, all right, we'll fucking keep an eye on all this shit, and, like, basically, like, no one's getting out with it, you know? But, I mean, people do.
But yo, I saw some
raising, you know? They just go in, and they're just like, I don't give a fuck, like, taking, like, I seen dudes, like, I mean, they had the looting going on here. Like,
yeah.
And the fools broke into the Arteric store, you know, and rinsed that fucking place. But they couldn't do anything. It was fucking... But then, like, they in Bellevue, Washington, which is, like, right across the water from here. It's, like, a more, like, nicer area, you know? It's where Microsoft and all that shit is. These dudes, like, went to the mall. Or not, like, hella people went to the mall. And they parked in the parking lot and just looted the mall, you know? It was on the news. They're, like, filming from the helicopter, and people are just coming out of Macy's, like, stacks of Jordans, like, fucking way up there, you know? And, like, a month later, they all got wrapped, you know? Like, after the fact, they went and, like, raided them, some of the people, and, like, I don't know. They, like, busted, like, some girl in the during the looting for, like, burning cop cars because they, like, got her with the hand tattoos, you know, that she had. They seen her on camera. So, like, if they want to, they could do something about it, but, like, that's... I mean, that kind of shit is just, like, the racking or whatever. Like, that just comes with the territory. Yeah. Like, you know, you just got hella people, like, fucking down and out. Like, you're going to get shit stolen.
And a lot of those tents that I saw were nice tents.
Mm-hmm.
They were pretty nice tents. And what do you think? Like, they probably boosted those from REI somehow.
Past or they just soldier. Get them. That's the thing. And they might get them through the city, you know?
They were saying that. Like they were saying that. And I didn't believe it.
Yeah, you really think I know Portland, I think, has a program like that. But I'm not really sure what they do here. But, like, I mean, you'll see, like, even, like, in these, like, those shanty towns, like, I mean, it's probably stolen, but you'll see, like, once in a while, like, a Beamer, like, an M3 Beamer with, like, one wheel just chilling in there, like, brand new, that's, like, stripped down. And no one's, like, towing, you know, no one's like, oh, that's my Beamer, or, like, this Beamer is probably stolen, you know? It's just sitting there, like, next to an RV. Or you'll see, you know, like, these... Like, sometimes they got nice whips in there, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, nicer car than I drive, you know?
Yeah, what's your experience with the law out here in terms of just your graph and getting busted or anything like that?
No problem so far.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of, like, close ones, but I've had more problems, like, with, like, deranged, like, homeless people than I have, like, any issues with the cops, you know? Like, you get chased. When I first visited Seattle, I got in, like, a sick chase, like, the first time. And I thought it was kind of hot here, like, after that, but it's really not. I mean, I think it's just, like, anywhere. It's, like, if they see you, they might fucking do something, you know? But, like, as for, like, if they get calls, you know, about it, like, they might drive through the area and, like, look around. But I haven't had any issues. So, I haven't really had any encounters, like, too much with cops out here in general. Like... very little, like, do they even, like, do anything. They're not very, like, aggressive, you know? They'll just kind of drive. They just kind of show their presence, like, oh, we're here, but they don't really do shit. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that a lot of them were leaving. I saw a lot of cops were leaving, just, like, on some news website about Seattle and all that stuff we were talking about. But, yeah, man, how did you first get into graffiti?
Shit, fucking... I mean, I've actually been, like, interested in graffiti since I was really little. Like, I remember going to San Francisco with my dad because he worked there when I was a kid. And, like, driving on the 280 and seeing rooftops, which I'm assuming now is probably, like, it was probably, like, MSK shit or something. But these giant pieces, like, on the rooftop and being like, what is that? Or, like, how do they do that? And I forget even what he said. You know, he's like, oh, it's graffiti or whatever. And then I remember, like, being probably 8 and... where I grew up, there's, like, a piecing spot. It's, like, a pretty famous piecing spot called the Aptos Tunnels. And me and my friends, like, walked up this creek one time, like, from our neighborhood. Like, it was low, so we just walked through the creek. And we, like, happened into these tunnels. And there's 3 of them in a row. And it was just, like, crazy-ass pieces. Like, from old Santa Cruz riders, you know, like, clowns. I remember there was a guy, Kool-Aid. And I remember that one just because of the word. You know, you're a little kid, and you're like, I can read that. It says Kool-Aid. And then finding that, and I think, like, after that, I remember, like, trying to draw graffiti a little bit. And then, like, just being kind of growing up, like, some of my cousin's friends did it. And I remember, like, seeing them look at Flix. It was just kind of around, like, me a little bit. And I was like, what's up with that? And then, I don't know, like, probably, like, fifth or sixth grade, like, started kind of, like, going with, like, I remember, like, having, like, a Sharpie, like, a Marks-A-Lot, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, trying to do little tags on the railroad tracks. Because, like, growing up, like, we just hung out on the railroad tracks all the time. Like, they go through Santa Cruz, like, from one end to the other. And they don't run trains on them anymore, but there used to be freights that ran through there. And there's, like, piecing spots, like, all the way down. Like, it's pretty much a lot of the graffiti exists kind of just on this one railroad track line. So that's kind of, like, where I just got into it, like, just fucking around on the tracks. And then, yeah, and then I used to take the city bus because I went to, like, continuation school across town. So I'd take the city bus, and then I remember, like, figuring out, like, what a scribe was and doing little scribes. And actually, the first time I got arrested was for scribing windows. Not on the bus, but actually at my elementary school.
What happened?
I went to, like, a bonfire, like, the night before, and I stayed in my friend's car. Because, like, me growing up, I was always, like, the youngest, and I always kicked it, like, with older people, you know? So, like, are they, like, oh, we're going to a party. I was probably, like, 7th grade, I guess, whatever age, 12, 13. And, yeah, I, like, went, stayed in my friend's car after a, I can't remember if it was a house party or a bonfire. And then, like, I was at this, the elementary school that I actually, like, went to, like, prior to that, whatever that was, like, 2 years before it, I was there. And I was just there in the morning, and there was, like, some local riders had, like, scribes on this, like, portable that was out in the field, like, on the window.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah,
mirrored glass. And, I had my scribe. I was, like, hyped on, like, a Dremel bit or something. And I did scribes, like, three scribes on it. And then the door swang open, and it's the janitor. Out of the whole school, he's in this cuddy. He's probably, like, in there fucking beating off or something. Who knows, you know?
Yeah.
So then he's like, hey. And I start running. And, like, he's chasing me, like, through this neighborhood. It's, like, a normal-ass neighborhood at, like, 8 in the morning. And he doesn't have a phone. So he's trying to, like, flag down people. And I'm just running, but I'm fucking, was like a chubby kid. So, like, eventually I ran out of steam, and I took him to the railroad tracks and make it on the railroad tracks. And, like, I'm, like, walking ahead of him. Like, I'm, like, kind of burned out trying to run. And he's, like, fucking, dude, he's got the back brace thing on for lifting shit. And he's, like, hobbling behind me, like, you're going to jail, like, all this shit. And I'm fucking running. And, like, finally he dips. Like, he's, like, realizes, like, he doesn't have a phone, and he's just following me, like, in the cut now. So he dips, and so I just turn back, go the other way, and whatever, I go meet up with my buddy, and we're, like, taking bong rips, like, by the beach, like, in the morning, you know. I meet up with him, the guy whose car I stayed in. We're, like, hitting the bong, fucking hanging out, and then I get a call from my mom, and she's like, there's, like, three cops at the house. I'm like, what? And I guess what happened is the dude, I don't think, he must have, like, there might have been a camera at the school that he watched me walk into the school, because, like, I had a hood on, and I don't think he saw my face, but whatever, he watched the camera, and then he recognized me, and found me in the yearbook, and fucking, I had to go to juvenile
hall,
and they were trying to give me two felonies for a scribe on a window. They were like, well, I did two windows, and they were like, it's $1,000 each, so I went to juvenile hall for, like, a night, and then got out, whatever, and then nothing happened. My mom was like, I like made me do hella shit all summer. She's like, I gotta pay like $2,000, so I'm doing all these chores and stuff for her, because she's like thinking she's gonna have to pay all this money. And I go to the probation hearing, and like the school never like hit her up, because it was like an old burnt out portable, so nothing ever even happened. And I was like, fuck, I had to do all that shit, you know.
That was the only time you got arrested for graff?
No, that was the first time. And then, like, a year after that, I got busted again, just, like, painting in an abandoned house that we used to, like, kick it at. It was all bad, though, because we were in there. This was when we got into kind of, like, racking shit. So we had, like, a car there full of paint, and then we had black books. And we're, like, in there, like, tagging on the walls, and, like, there's black books out, and people are just, like, drinking. There's, like, 20 kids there. And me and my friend are in the other... It's like these two kind of abandoned house, and we're in the other one, and like all of a sudden we just look out, and there's just two cops, and so they're just standing there like, gentlemen. And it was one that like used to fuck with us for skating and shit, so I knew, I was like, this fucking guy is an asshole. So then we get out, and like everyone else, like I almost kind of like nothing happened from that really either eventually, so I'm almost glad that I like, as everyone else jumped over a barbed wire fence straight into Poison Oak and ran in Poison Oak down to the beach and jumped in the water, but they all got fucked, like, from Poison Oak. They were just dusted, like, all over their faces, their whole bodies. So I was like, fucking, I ended up getting 50 hours community service, but they just like gave us tickets because they were like, what'd you do? Like, we know you're in there. Like, and this was when I was like, you know, and this is the lesson I learned, like, just don't say anything. Like, but like, I was worried they were going to go in there and find these black books and then it was going to turn into like a whole thing, you know? So we're like, oh, I did this anarchy sign. And my buddy said, oh, I did this little alien face, like Sharpie shit. But there's like paint out, which was funny. It was like, we did the shit with the Sharpie that's like 20 years old, but there's like all this paint. And then they're like, okay, it gave us vandalism tickets. But they're like, whose car is this? And it's my friend's brother. So he had to come back. Eventually I called him and he's like, I'm not going back. And I was like, dude, they're going to tow the car. You got to come back. And so he came back and the cop put him on the knee, like lifted him up. It was so creepy. Like he put him on his knee. Like lifted him off the ground like he was on a horse, like patted him down, and then gave him the paint and the markers back and like let us go. And then I had to do like 50 hours community service.
It's so weird.
But yeah, other than that, I mean, I've gotten, yeah, it's fucking weird, right? I've gotten busted like in San Francisco, like, I'm not even busted. I've been like in the drunk tank before, like out doing graffiti, and they just like stop you and they're like, oh, like, what are you doing? And then they're like, you're drunk, and they like take you in for the night. But yeah, other than that, like a lot of close, I mean, there's been close calls.
Yeah. Have you ever painted New York?
I went to New York when I was 15, like with my mom, and visited, like, because I had an aunt that lived on the East Coast, and just got to check it out. And I remember like being in the Village and like doing like little marker tags and shit, just on my own skating around. I went to the Brooklyn Banks.
Sick.
Which was like really ill, you know? BMXers. Well, down there.
What year was it?
15, 2000.
Look, was it when they recently, I'm putting in quotes for those people listening, reopened?
It was the first. It was when they had like shit to skate down there. Like, there like was the, like, flat bar or the spine. Yeah.
And well, I Brooklyn remember, Banks is like the best spot ever.
I remember seeing like Billy Rohan, I think. Sick. Was there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was like a few people. And then, yeah, I went there then. And then I went back when I was 20. And I mean, I did some graffiti, like, but I just party. I was, like, this is when I, like, got into, like, partying a lot. So I was just, like, in the LES just, like, partying for, like, a week. And I spent hella dough. And then I haven't gone back since. But I'm going soon.
Sick. When are you going?
Probably, like, before the winter, hopefully.
Oh, word, yeah. Yeah. When you're down there, hit us up and shit.
Yeah, I'll be back out there. I need to go. It's just been one of those places that's, like, I'm, like, I mean, I don't party anymore, really, so I could go probably a little easier now. And the other thing I realized is, like, now people have, like, or at least my friends, they have, like, better places to stay. Like, when I would be invited to go before, they're like, yeah, stay behind my couch, you know, like, or, like, sleep in my bathtub or, like, some shit. You're like, I don't really want to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, New York's really cool. It's just, it's always been one of those places that I'm like, all right, like, now I think you can get tickets for pretty cheap, but it always seemed like, I'm like, I'd rather go to, like, Europe or something than go to New York.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to go back, you know, and just kick it for a couple weeks.
How did you get down with GSP crew?
I met Gusto when I was living in San Francisco, so I moved there when I was 17. Like, I was up there a lot. I think I knew some of those dudes. Like, I would spend a lot of time at the Island, which is, like, across from Embarcadero.
Okay.
But I was kind of up in the city, like, pretty frequently. Like, we go to punk shows and shit and, like, hardcore shows. And I would be up there, like, I don't know, like, every weekend. Because I did, like, independent studies during high school. So I didn't really go to school. So I just, like, be up there. My buddy lived in North Beach, which is, like, Little Italy. And I remember being up there. The first rider I met was this dude, B-Man. He was, like, he's BTM, kind of like neighborhood dude.
Okay.
And I remember like seeing him, like, and it was like some parade, and he's just out eating gelato, just hitting windows or doing streaker tags on windows, just in the middle of the day, like in front of everybody. And he's also like, everyone knows him in that neighborhood. So it was like funny. Like, I'm like, this dude, you know, like, that was, I remember that was like the first guy I met up there. But yeah, I met Gusto when he moved. He came out from New York. I don't know if he moved back or. But he showed up and he's like hella cool right away. And he reminded me of like people I grew up with, you know, like kind of like he was a skater dude from Santa Cruz or like people from Santa Cruz, I guess, that I like. It just reminded me. I was like, this dude's fucking funny. And like right when he showed up, he was like some fight down there. And he like got he had a Giants jersey on and it got all bloody because these dudes were like fighting. One of them bleeding all over the place. And then we just like kicked it. And then I think he moved back and I would just like see him. And then I can't remember like. I just, like, all of a sudden, it was just, like, those were just my friends. Like, it just, like, happened. I can't even remember, like, oh, you're on. I was hanging out, and then they're like, yeah, put it up or whatever. But around the same time, I was like MQ put me down with BBB.
Mm.
So that was like all in the same time. So it's blurry, like where it's just like all of a sudden I was just like, which is weird for me, you know, like growing up, like Santa Cruz has a pretty sick graffiti history, actually. There's like a lot of writers from there, but they all moved away, you know, most of them. So then like getting to San Francisco and then just like, it's like a small city. So like everyone kind of knows each other and then you just meet everybody. And all of a sudden it's like, those are your friends. And like, I mean,
that video that Art Primo made is like you, MQ, Darks, Lunch, Gusto. Such a good video.
Yeah, I wish like I was pretty fucked up, I think, when they were filming that. And I wish I like did something better, but I like didn't even like really. I was like still learning how to like do fill-ins, I feel like, at that time. Because when I moved to SF, I just like tagged a lot, you know. I was just like into like skating around and like doing tags, like. But it's funny because, like, when I was younger, I painted more, like, whatever, straight letters and stuff. Like, actually painted more. And then I got up there, and it was just, like, I was just into tags, you know.
So why did you move to Seattle?
Shit, my sister was living here at the time. I visited once, and I was, like, San Francisco at that time, like, it was really hard to get a spot, like, an affordable spot. So I was kind of, like, my spot. The rent got raised and I couldn't afford to live there. So I was like, all right, I either move to Oakland. Oakland at the time was like a little more affordable. And then I came up here and visited and it was just like hell fun. Like it was during the summer though. I came here during the summer and was like, had hell of fun for like a week. And I was like, yeah, I'll give it a try because I had a place to stay right away. But I actually wasn't planning on like staying. I was like looking at moving to Philly just because I'd been there. And I was like, that seems like a cool spot, you know? So I kind of just ended up in Seattle, and then I was like, oh, I'll stay. I went to Europe, too, like, for the first time right away, like, when I got here. So I went here and, like, chilled for a month, went to Europe for a month, came back, and then was like, fuck, I got to make some money. And, like, so then I ended up staying there. I met a girl at the time and, like, moved in, did all that for 3 years, and then I've just been chilling ever since. I don't know.
How do you deal with the negative aspects that grad brings, like beef and substance abuse, death of friends? I know you've had a number of friends pass. How do you deal with that?
I mean, the drug thing sucks. Like, that's been, I mean, I partied a lot. Like, I haven't drank in like 3 years. I mean, I smoke weed or whatever, but that, like, the whole drug aspect of graffiti sucks. Especially now, just because, like, with fentanyl and stuff, there's just people dying left and right. But it's just, like, I mean, I've had friends pass from a number of things, kind of, like, a bunch of different stuff, you know, murdered, suicide, like, all that. And it's just, I mean, dealing with it is, like, I think, I mean, I lost my dad when I was, like, 13, you know? And that was, like, and then I lost a friend that I grew up with right around that time. And I think eventually you have to learn to cope with, like, it's inevitable that you're gonna lose people. And I think like within graffiti, you know, so many people because of it, you know, or like even people maybe you don't know that well, like there's some connection there. So you, like, it seems like you're like, oh, I'm losing friends left and right. But in the Bay Area, like at that time, there was just people dying like constantly. It's like every couple months, and it's still kind of happening. And I realized actually once I moved to Seattle that like the lifestyle that people are living, I mean, a lot of people have now chilled out, luckily, but, like, at that time, like, it was pretty gnarly. Like, it was just a lot of partying and a lot of shit, a lot of drugs, you know? So that, like, kind of comes with that territory. And then when you go somewhere else, you realize, like, that's not normal, but, like, it seems normal. You're like, whatever, this is what we do every night. But, I mean, I kind of, like, have looked at, like, you know, when people pass, like, I sit with it for a while. Like, I'm not, I don't know. It's like, it's not to say I'm like numb to it, but I just kind of sit with it. And it's like, you know, you take something, like you lose, it's weird too, because you lose like all these amazing people in your life. And you're like, it's kind of like, I almost think like, I'm like, wherever they're going, like it must be better than here, because it's a lot of good people that you lose. But you also see kind of like, sometimes you can see it, like, it's like, they're on the way, you know, like you have friends and you're like, you know, they're living crazy and you're like, fuck, like you kind of like feel it, like, and then it happens and you're like, damn, like I almost could have like predicted that, you know? But
yeah. I was gonna say, like, graffiti is, like, it's crazy in that sense, because I remember, like, growing up in South Brooklyn as, like, a little kid, I would see, like, graffiti, you know, like, waiting to go on the train for school or whatever, like, with my mom, like, just looking at this stuff and be like, yo, who is that? Like, what are they doing? They're, like, some type of, like, superheroes. Like, you have this image of, like, you know, like, you're idolizing these people. And when you get older and, like, you, in a way, partake in the scene and see what's going on, it's like, bro, it's, like, a serious, like, these people are really, like, in a way, suffering. Like, yeah. You know, it's, like, it's not all just, you know, superhero shit. It's, like, it's a big problem in the graffiti scene. Like, in my neighborhood, yo, like, so many writers passed that were, like, young kids, you know what I mean? And it's sad, you know, because they, you could see their talent. You could see, like, what they're doing on the walls. It's, like, they're, like, it's, like, a cry for help in a way. Like,
mm-hmm.
It sucks, bro. It really does.
Yeah, and I think it's, like, I mean, I, like, with graffiti now, for me, like, I, like, had the choice to kind of, like, basically, like, let it maybe, like, ruin my life in a sense. Like, I mean, I just, like, I mean, there was a lot of factors in there. It was, like, partying and then, like, but I saw a lot of people that were older. I, like, was around a lot of older people that, like, you kind of saw, like, what happened, you know, like, that, like, they have graffiti but they don't have shit, like, anything else, nothing else is going on. It's like, kind of, that's it. And it's, in a sense, like, I always was, like, inspired by these people that, like, do really cool shit outside of graffiti and just do graffiti, you know. Yeah. Like, someone that's, like, you know, they're like, oh, that dude's a scientist. Yeah. And he does graffiti. Like, I'm like, that's fucking interesting to me, you know, compared to, like, someone that, you know, you're like, oh, they just boost and do hella drugs. And it kind of makes sense, you know. It's like, it kind of goes hand in hand with those things. But I've been lucky enough just to, like, surround myself with, like, a bunch, like, a lot of different types of people. So I've been able to kind of see, like, for me, it's like, I'm just, like, a regular ass dude. Like, I haven't done, like, crazy amounts of graffiti, you know, like, travel a little bit. And, like, I like to do it still, like, but I'm not, like, one of these people that's, like, dedicating, like, my whole life is not graffiti. Like, I'm not out every night. I'm not, like, oh, there's that bridge, I gotta, like, hang off that bridge. Like, I like, the best nights for me, it's, like, graffiti has been a lot about friendship for me, you know, like, in times, like, it's, like, independent in a sense, and it's also very social, like, at the same time. And it's been, like, those nights when you're just out with your buddies, and, like, someone's like, oh, I got some paint, you know, and you just, like, hit a wall, and you're just laughing or, like, whatever funny shit's happening. Those are, like, the times I, like, look at is, like, those are the best. Like, I don't really, like, it's not like, oh, I, like, painted some crazy spot. I mean, for me, I, like, just don't paint that crazy. I don't paint really crazy spots.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, like, into, like, cutty graffiti, kind of, like, not really piecing, but, like, I like shit that's just, like, kind of exists where graffiti, like, belongs. Like, on rail, like, kind of how I grew up, like, railroad tracks and, like, seeing, like, some rusted ass fucking door, and you're like, I want to do tags on that, like, like, hopefully it'll run. Like, I like, yeah, I like trying to do stuff that maybe will, like, sit around for a while.
Speaking of, like, people who do other stuff outside of graph, you know, Nov does, like, he does, writes books, he has a PhD, he's a professor and all that. I saw in 2014 you were, like, reading some of his books, among other shit.
Like, dude, I read all of them.
World Screaming Nov, I know you read just Nov York, Rim by Slave.
Back.
What?
I wish I had all those books, man. I let people borrow them, and now I fucking don't. I want to read them again.
Yeah. What do you think about those?
They were, like, amazing at the time. My friend, actually, Yezim, RIP, he put me on that, like, that. I knew about that dude because of State Your Name and shit. Yeah. And I, like, loved his graffiti in that because he, like, I mean, his throws are cool, but he did those, like, big. It just was, like, a big tag.
The big tags,
with
yeah.
a stock tip.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that shit's sick. Just, like, big-ass tags with stock tips. And then my buddy Yezim was like, oh, that guy wrote a book. And I was like, he just didn't seem, you know, like, you could see, like, someone like Espo. You know, like, there's people that you could see writing books. You
not
know?
Him. Like, not from the State Your Name.
Yeah.
Like, if that's what you think yeah, that he it's is, like, there's no way that
you're like,
you
that dude wrote a book? And yeah, then, yeah. like, reading his first book, you know, is, like, really fun. It was like,
which was the first one?
The World Screaming No.
That's the first one?
Or wait, the one with the yellow, just
written
self-titled.
By, yeah, written by a slave.
Yeah, that's the, I read him, like, maybe in order. Like, I feel like I got the other ones when they, like, maybe had come out. They were, like, the regular price of a book. Like, you got, I forget, I ordered them offline or something. But I think I got all of them after that. And I was like, I'm just trying to, but then I wanted to reread the World Screaming Nov one because that one was, like, way more intellectual.
I love that one. That's my favorite one.
And it was, like, I almost didn't understand it at the time. But I was, like, kind of confused by it because I was like, what is going on in this book? You know, like, it's, like, very intense. And then I remember he did a book that was called Alcohol Makes You Invisible.
Invincible, yeah.
And I got it. I think I just downloaded it as an audiobook. And that shit was, that was a bugged out book. That one was crazy. Like, I don't know. I like to read. So, like, yeah, I'm like, anytime there's like some weird, like obscure shit like that, I'm like, I want to read it. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I wish I had them still because I'd like reread them.
Yeah, the book, The World Screaming No, that's easily my favorite one that he did. It's pretty nuts. For anyone who hasn't read it, try to get your hands on a copy. I saw that on Amazon now. It's like $2,000.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, fuck, dude. Like,
I asked him about it. I'm like, yo, what's up with that? And he was like, I don't fucking know. Yeah. Like, it's not him. It's just
they're
random.
On eBay for hella money. I mean, that's like with a lot of books, like that random books that people put out. Because I'll try to like buy shit. Like when I see it, I'm like, oh, that looks interesting. And then you have it, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, I remember this dude Scott Bourne. He's like a old skater from the '90s. Consolidated, like,
sick.
And he wrote some books, and like I bought them like when they came out, and they're really sick books. Like one of them's more like poetry or short stories, and like he lives in Paris now, but like you can't find those books. Like once they've come out, they're not like, oh, they're just available everywhere. So like, yeah, I don't know, like I'm just interested in shit like that, like especially when I like, that's why it was so obscure. It's like that weird dude from State Your Name that's like talking hella shit wrote a book. You're like, what? Like, no, I, like, didn't believe my buddy when he told me, because he was really into reading and writing, Yezim, and he, like, knew about that shit, and he was like, oh, like, I'll let you borrow it, but I think I just bought it, but, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had read the What Do 1 Million JA Tags Signify, and then he came on the show, the first time he came on the show, and the first time I met him, like, he shot me a message, and he's like, yo, I'm outside, so I'm like, okay. So I go down and like I'm like, you know, I'm thinking State Your Name, Nov.
Yeah.
I don't know anything else other than State Your Name, Nov. So I go down and I'm like, well, where is this dude? Like, there's one dude on my block, but that is clearly not him. Like, I know he said he's outside, but that is clearly not him. So let me just call him. So I call him and I'm like, yo. And I see the dude who is clearly not him answer the phone. And then it's him. And I'm like, yo, what the fuck, son?
You're like, is this the right dude?
Yeah, dude. And then, but anyways, yeah, he brought us his books, and then I was super hyped. He brought us his books, his gifts, and one of them was The World Screaming Nova, which was like the first one I read from them, and like him talking about like Moki G, and like, I don't know if you remember, but that's like the character that is essentially him going, like, who did LSD with the hippies, who realized that he should become a teacher because the teacher is the only job to like teach the disenfranchised youth how to pretty much have a revolution against corporate America, and how he'd rather shoot himself in the face than be part of corporate America. And like, I might be like, I'm sorry if you're listening to this, bro, like, and like I'm miswording your book, but like that's just kind of what I got out of it.
Yeah.
And no, it's crazy. What other books do you read?
Fuck, I read the John Joseph ones.
Oh, what,
one of his new ones. He's fucking out of his mind. I love that shit, because I grew up like going to hardcore shows.
Sick.
Like pretty much like pretty young, you know, like I was way into that shit. I would be going to Gilman a lot. And at that time, that was like part of like my graffiti influence too, is like a lot of these dudes that were in bands wrote graffiti at the time in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
So like I would go like bands like Ceremony and like my favorite band ever, Never Healed. Shouts out. it was just like a cool scene, like, because like I wasn't straight edge, so like I love straight edge bands though, like Judge, and like there's the bands, you're like, they fucking rip, it's undeniable, you know. And the lyrics, even like the older straight edge bands, the lyrics are like more like understandable compared to like maybe like newer bands. So I like loved all that shit, but like all these bands, like none of them were straight edge, but they were hardcore bands, so that was like big for me. So, like, I, of course, Cro-Mags is, like, huge. So I had to get his books. Like, I haven't read them all, but, like, I had the first one, you know?
What was it, Evolution?
Yeah, that one's crazy. Like, that one, like, I read it twice, pretty, like, back-to-back. Because I was like, I need to read this again because it's, like, so, like, crazy. But then, you know, he's done a lot of, like, interviews and stuff, obviously. So, like, you kind of hear, like, the story, like, the same, not the same story, but, like, he's got, I mean, that guy's got endless stories, but... I mean, I just think, like, more people should write books.
Oh, sick. Absolutely.
Like, imagine, I was thinking about this, like, imagine, like, Cap, if he wrote a book about, but not even, like, about the Style Wars time, but, like, a Cap book that was, like, in between then and now? Like, what did he do? Like, what was Cap up to?
Yeah, like, what the fuck is he now, been up to?
And, like, NPC, that crew that he was in,
they had
a book. It was more of, like, a photo book that I saw. And that shit was, like, dude, they're, like, ill metalheads. Like, from fucking the set or whatever that was, the early 80s. And they're, like, painting graffiti, but they're all, like, rockers, you know? And there's photos in there, and you're, like, dude, this shit is bugged out. Like, you know, it looks like the Warriors or something. Like, that's the kind of shit, like, I get way into. I'm like, I would love, I mean, you know, like, if there's someone did the Cap autobiography, like.
So, I would buy that shit, instantly.
You know? Like, you hear shit, fucking, you're like, or, like, just anyone, like, I mean, everyone's kind of got interesting stories, especially these dudes that have been going, like, for that long. Like, I would love, like, to see, like, a Louis BTM book, you know? Like, that would be some shit. You'd be like.
Pfft. Have you ever thought about writing a book?
Yeah.
I'm legit writing one right now.
You are?
Yeah, yeah.
I would want to write a book, though. I'd want to, like, do. I'm, like, interested in doing things, like, about, other, like, someone else. Like, because, like, I don't know. Like, me, I'm, like, pretty, like, mellow dude. Like, I haven't gotten, like, you know, there's been crazy shit in my life, but nothing, like, I think, like, book worthy, I guess. But, like, I would love to, like, maybe, like, that's more journalism, though, like, where you're, like, I mean, you guys interview people. That's why, like, I'm a fan of the podcast, because I would listen to it and I'm like, finally someone's like doing graffiti interviews that cover shit that's not like, what kind of paint do you like? Like, that shit is like, what? You know, you listen to that and you're like, dude, I'm not trying to hear about the fucking, oh, I like the Rusto with the whatever, like, fucking, I like Montana. Like, Montana sucks. Like, we want fucking, I don't know, Kills is good. But, like, you know, you don't want to, like, hear that shit. You're like,
dude, some people get pissed at us.
Yeah.
That, like, some of the, not that, like, relatively in the ratio, it's not that much, but some people are like, yo, I'm tired of hearing this, the fuck you guys talking about? Like, you guys are thinking too much. Like, talk about Graf.
That's why I told you to interview Rescue. I was like, you got to interview this dude, because, like, I knew him a little bit in the Bay Area, and he's, like, always been a cool-ass dude, but, like, I had heard just, like, through the grapevine that he was, like, in South America, like, hanging out with, like, possibly, like, extraterrestrial beings, like, just doing crazy shit. And I was like, and then, like, you guys, you know, had, like, John Joseph and those, and I was like, damn, they should, like, do one with Rescue if he's down. And I feel like now, like, I mean, you did that, and, like, he's, like, putting himself out there a lot, like, and it's so weird because Rescue, like, I feel like most people, like, you would see his graffiti and you're like, oh, it's just this feels like a crazy ass bomber, like, that, worldwide bomber. And then, like, the shit he's into on the side, like, I mean, that's basically what he's into now, like, doing all, like, the bodywork stuff and like,
sound healing.
He's, like, been helping a lot of people out, like, people I know, you know, he's, like, been helping them out, like, get sober, and, like, it's fucking cool. You're like,
dude, and super cool, and honestly, whatever works, bro. Like, I've heard that in his past life, he was on some very other shit, and if that can help you get out of it, then, like, you know, like, more power to you. When you sent me his page, like, I remember you were like, you guys should do Rescue, and I go... And I guess it was a video of him, and I'm like, I actually re-looked at the message today, and I'm like, this is Rescue 246.
Yeah,
like, I was like, is this a joke? And then I go on his page, and I looked on the tagged, and then I saw it somewhere, and I'm like, bro, it really is.
Yeah.
Like, that is actually nuts. It was crazy, yo.
It turned into, like, an amazing conversation.
I was like, yo, this shit is good right here, like. I mean, you guys did two with him.
We did two of them, yeah.
But, like, I mean, yeah, his whole, like, story is just interesting. Because I knew him, you know, like, we knew each other, like, in passing or whatever. But, like, I had just heard, like, oh, he's doing that. Like, this guy's doing this now. And, like, you know, you just hear shit and you're like, oh, that sounds crazy, you know. But then, like, once I saw his, like, his Instagram thing, I was like, yo, they should do an interview with him. Because, I mean, like.
A lot of writers do a lot of stuff outside of
Graf. That's what I'm saying. That's what is interesting to me, like. Because, like, graffiti's cool, but, like, it's interesting when these people, like, they do some, like, I don't know, really cool shit, and they're, like, still trying to go do graffiti. It's such a weird, like, thing to be into, like, especially if you're living, like, a normal life, and then you're like, I want to go do this, like, weird shit on the side, you know?
I think that whenever they do stuff on the side, they really bring the flavor, like... We were talking to Peter Sutherland, and he's telling us about how when he started doing autograph, like, he didn't really know much about graph, but he didn't need to. All he'd have to do is bring a camera... Mm-hmm. Up comes the writer, and the writer's just going to bring the flavor, and it's immediately going to turn into, like, this artistic book. Yeah. And I think about the same thing, like, with, like, Arab with his paintings, or Jesse Edward with his paintings, or, like, or Rescue with his shit. Like, if Charlie's, like, Charlie Hustler, Charlie, if he does like an Instagram story, it just turns into art immediately. Yeah. Like other people's Instagram stories of them talking, it's like just an Instagram story. His Instagram stories are like legit. It's like a TV show.
Yeah.
Like I want him to post more because I want to be able to see it.
Like, because Gusto knows him, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They, like, have a history. And I remember, like, getting put on to him. And like, dude, it was like a movie. Because, like, he put his whole shit out there. Like, the bad, the good. Like, everything was on there. And you're, like, watching it. You're, like, this fool's, like, yelling at his neighbors. Like, blasting Mobb Deep. Like, throwing shit. Like, I don't know. He was fucking... shit was entertaining. But also, you know, you're, like, fuck. Like, this dude's going through some shit.
Yeah,
know,
yeah.
At the time, but... Yeah, his shit was great. I was like, damn, that was the first one you did, right?
That was yeah, our first episode.
Set it off, like, but that's why it's interesting. The like, I mean, for you guys doing a podcast, like, I love the idea. I'm like into podcasts. I listen to that shit at work all day. Sick. You know, like different ones,
mm-hmm.
about everything. Because I'm just like, I want to find out about random shit. You know, like I'm like, you know, I might like one day like I grew up like in a town where a lot of people surfed, but I never really surfed. But I'm like. I might nerd out on like surfing one day, you know, and be like listening to like some surfing podcasts.
I feel like podcasts are kind of similar to books in a way. You can learn a lot of shit. Like, it's just because it's not an audiobook doesn't really mean anything. It's you're like sitting in a room of ideas being shared when you're listening to that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like you're there. Like I listen to like Joe Rogan's show a lot just because of the fact that he has mad random people on.
Yeah, yeah, that's
so
why it's
you
good.
End up learning. Like I'm like, oh well, this guy's like a neuroscientist, like. I don't know anything about that, but this is probably going to be ill. And then I know they're going to talk about shit that has nothing to do with neuroscience at some point. Like, it's a 3-hour-long podcast, and yeah. I'm going to hear what this neuroscientist has to say about, like, fucking the Gracie's fucking people up or some shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's just...
No, you find out about weird shit, and then you're like, oh, I want to, like, know more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I will say, like, you listen to too many of them, and, like, you don't really take in all the information compared to, like, reading a book, but... I mean, podcasts are good just because you can be doing something else, like working and like listening to shit. And I'll be like listening like some crazy ones, like cracking up, you know, just like while I'm like up on a ladder at work, just laughing because I'm like, that shit is fucking.
How'd you get into shooting photos?
Photos, like, I feel like I always kind of like took pictures of stuff. Like, I remember going to like punk shows when I was really little, like with my mom's like 35mm and like shooting a roll just at the show of like people circle pitting and shit. And like, I mean, none of them really turned out. And then I remember like later I got a digital camera, like a Nikon one. Like, and I remember trying to shoot skate photos, like just like regular skate photos, but not really knowing like, oh, you need like flashes or like get a fisheye. Like, I just would. And actually, I have some of them. I was able to, like, track down some old Flickr and, like, get some of them. And, like, I actually like some of them, you know? But that was kind of where it started. And then being into graffiti, like, I grew up kind of, like, 12-ounce era.
12-ounce profit, yeah.
So, like, that was big. You know, you'd go flick. And you couldn't, like, flick all your own shit, you know? And just put your, like... It was, like, looked down upon to, like, self-promote like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you would go, like, find... And that's, like, where I got into finding Cuddy graffiti, you know? Because, like, I would go find shit, like... weird tags, and I'm still so into, like, that's what I'm into, like I'll go find like some, like, I'm not like trying to go in, like, I like shit that's kind of out in the open, but it's like Cuddy, you know, you're like, oh, that tag's on that pole, and like people like during 12-ounce days, they used to like take pictures of that kind of stuff, like some old tag. You don't see that kind of shit like on IG, you know? It's like fill-ins, you know,
see, like the big shit.
It's like all the big shit. You don't see those like weird, because people, a lot of kids now probably don't know about the writers, like. Like, even in Seattle, like, you'll find, you know, dudes that, like, were from here, and you'll find the old shit, and you're like, damn, that's sick. Like, just some old-ass tag, you know? So, like, that's kind of where I, like, got into, like, shooting photos. But then I would always take photos with my phone. Like, I have one phone that made it through that has, like, kind of photos from San Francisco days, like, when I first lived there. And I love those photos because it's, like, an older iPhone. They almost look like a film photo just because it's, like, the quality's gotten so much better.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish, like... I also like used to make like digital camera little skate videos, because I remember seeing Crooked made a video called Naughty where they like filmed on a digicam, and I was like, oh, that shit's sick. So I was always kind of like just tinkering, but never like mastering any of it, and still like that, like photos are like I got into it for a while, like trying to go out and take photos, you know, like with the camera, and you go out and then it just felt like disingenuous, like, oh, I'm like trying to like, and like I'm not really into like, and I like shooting photos of people on the street if they're like down, you know, they're like, take my photo, or like, you know, they're like down with it, but I'm not into like the like being cutty really anymore and like trying to like take street photos. But I feel like a lot of people, you find out about those street photographers and you get like inspired by that. You're like, yeah, oh, I want to go like take photos on the street. But so many people, I see people out, you know, doing it constantly, and it's like, I feel like there's not as much characters. There's not like, I mean, there's characters if you want to take photos of like homeless people, you know, there's characters still, but there, it's just not the same, I think, as like when those like the OG people were doing it, you know. But I still like shooting photos. I just do it like way slower now. Like I always have my camera and I'll just snap photos like when it, like I see one. But a lot of it is like, I've just realized with photos, like they matter like after like later in life.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
Like
yeah.
They take time, especially like with shooting film. Like it takes time. It's like, I feel like there's this like, you want to get the shit out now, but it's like, you should just take photos with your phone if you want to like have it right away. Like it, and I like the surprise, you know. It's like you shoot the photos and you don't really know. But like that's kind of how, like, I mean, I've always just been into it, but there's been like periods of my life, like I wish like when I was like, you know, 17 to 21, I was shooting photos. I had my phone, you know, I take photos, but I wish I was like actually shooting photos, because that was like the crazy shit. And then now I'm like all chilled out, and I like to take photos though, just like my friends and like whatever, you know.
Your photos are really good, man. Yeah, your photos are really good. Like, I don't know if how much you've slowed down or if you ever put out a zine
still
or anything.
Do it. Like, I just go, like I said, like, and I'm real into, like, I just keep the film for a while and stack it up.
Mm.
And then I get it processed or, like, well, like, I don't do the darkroom shit. I just, like, send it, get it processed. And, like, it's nice to have the surprise once you get it, you know? Because I feel
really
like you
is.
Have expectations if you shoot a roll of film and you're like, there's a sick photo, and you like go develop it right away. You're like, and then it turns out like shit. Those are always the ones you're like, oh, that one's good. And it's never, for me, they're never the good ones. It's always these like weird ones where you just like snapped it and you're like, huh, like I like that one. I don't know why, but like that's kind of what I'm into. And I'm like, for me, I'm just like, I want to keep doing it. Like I'm trying to, I want to document maybe more graffiti, like not like, because I take photos of people painting, like when I'm out painting, like whatever, snap a photo of my buddy doing some shit. But I do want to document like cutty graffiti more. That's kind of like what I'm like, oh, like I like this. Like this is like something I'm actually into. And like I don't really have any aspirations of being like a photographer, you know? Like I just want to do it. And like maybe like in 10 years, like there'll be some relevance to this, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think with like, I've lost so much shit like with digital, you know? Computers crashing, never been good at like backing stuff up. And it, at the time, you don't care. You're like, oh, whatever, you know, because you're, like, in that moment. But then now you're like, fuck, I wish I had that footage, you know, or, like, those photos.
So no, I completely agree. If I had every photo that I've ever taken on any phone I've ever had, it would be over.
Yeah. You'd be stoked. You'd just be like, fuck, all right. Got, like,
so many memories.
It's nice to look back, like, because it's, like, a time period in your life. And, like, for me, that's, like, what I'm into shooting photos of my friends and, like, just moments where I'm like, oh, that was like ill night, whatever, you know. You just like kind of take them and then like wait, you know, 6 months, and then you might get a process, and then you like see it and you're like, okay. And then like after that, like I just sit on a lot of the stuff, you know. It's just like sitting on a computer, and I like been better about at least like putting the negatives like in binders and shit, so I have mm-hmm. them and like backing stuff up. But yeah, I just like, I got like, I don't know, I was like in, I'm still into it, but like I try, you know, I kind of like attempted like, all right, I'm gonna like shoot photos more often. And I just like, none of it like resonated with me. It just felt like weird. I was
totally understand that.
For a photo.
Yeah.
Compared to like, you know, you're just like, oh, there's a, you know, like this is happening in front of me. Like I'll take a snapshot. Cause I take a lot of photos in just in my mind, you know, like I'm big on like, I'll see a moment and I'll like not take a photo, but I'll be like, wow. Like one of the times I can think of that I didn't have a camera, but like it was like it was after Jade passed away and everyone met up in San Francisco, and like forget, we went out to dinner or something, like a bunch of homies, and then everyone went into the Muni tunnel and like did hollows, like Jade stuff in the Muni tunnel, and like someone had paint that were just starting to hand out like a bunch of cans, and just that like the look of like 15 people just going into the tunnel to like go crush it. And like I went to work the next day, so I got to ride the Muni like through that tunnel and just saw how far everyone went back, because like I didn't go all the way in, and some people went way deep and just were like, they went into the middle and then just did hollows like all the way down, like jade stuff. And just like that moment, I was like, I think someone might have taken a photo, but it just was like one of those like mental things where you're just like, oh, that, you know. And that's like for me, it's that's kind of like what photos are. They're just like, it's hard to capture that though, you know, like those, it's memories and like night out with like your friends, but like sometimes you can capture it and it's fun to look at. And like, I don't know, I just like, yeah, I think like with time, like these things might, they might like hold a lot more value like later.
No, they absolutely will. Yeah. I think it's mad important too, just like within the graffiti culture, it's been a, taking photos has been a thing for so long.
Yeah,
just for the sake of documentation, documenting your stuff that no one else will. Mm-hmm. Even though now obviously it's different and there's straight up,
but I think like the best shit in graffiti probably exists like in someone's shoebox somewhere under a bed or like in a storage unit.
That's, you know, exactly where it exists.
Like you see the stuff that gets put out and scanned, but like there's dudes that just sit, they're just sitting on like the gold, you know. And that's like, that might just be graffiti pictures of graffiti or like, you know, action people their doing lifestyle. Graffiti, yeah, the yeah. lifestyle, like from, you know, you see those old photos like in the 90s, like, and it's just like a different time, you know, like, and you're like, damn, but you can like see it, like, you can see like the whole picture's there, like the gear, the fucking 40s, the blunts, like all of it's like all there.
Just the architecture, like, how the it architecture,
how it look. And I think like that's a big thing with like the graffiti shit that I like is like a lot of, I think like now with graffiti, because of the like the nice paint and like that you shoot it digital, it looks much more like softer than it used to. Like you see those old flicks and there's like an orange tint on the film, you know, because a lot of it's just like disposable cameras or shitty cameras. There's like an orange tint on the color film and the graffiti's done with, you know, Rusto and the old Krylon, and it just looks like raw as fuck. You're like, oh, that shit looks amazing, you know?
Another thing with taking photos is so different from like what we're used to is like, on Instagram, a lot of people always want to be in the photo. They always want to be like, yo, take a picture of me in front of this or me with this person. If you're taking those photos, you're not in any of them.
Yeah.
So it's like you care less. And like, realistically, not that many people care about who shot the photo. They care about what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So subject like,
matter, yeah.
Yeah, they care about like what it is. They don't care about like, did Lunch shoot this? Did Peter Sutherland shoot this? Like, of course, some people care. But not ever, like the majority, like the main viewer who's not appreciative of photography as an art and just like looks at it as a general image, it's not thinking about that. So like, I guess it's an art that really involves passion, because like people are not gonna, you don't have a signature on that shit.
No,
people are not gonna know that you shot it and you're not in it.
Yeah, like later, like, you know, the stuff might circulate, or that happens now. There's like old photos like Dave Schubert, you know, he's got like the golden era of like kind of San Francisco, like a lot of stuff, and like his photos will circulate with like no credit, but you know, like, or if you're in the know, you're like, all right, this guy shot these photos, and he's got so many that probably aren't public, you know. Well, I know he does, but like he's fucking, I remember he had a photo of MQ like painting, and he's like standing across on a truck and he's got Red Wing boots on, and I remember just being like, that photo is like so sick, just because it's like the fucking boots are like right there in focus, and then there's a big silver MQ throw up.
So good.
I mean, MQ is like that's someone that's like just, you know, for graffiti, that's like, I had the pleasure of like being friends with him.
The prophet.
And he's like, it's like high art. Like, you know, he used to do these fill-ins. He would just do MQ fill-ins and never outline them. Like in the early 2000s, mid 2000s, like just a fill-in. Just boom, like three in a row, and you're like, that's like high, that's like high art or something. Like that's, I don't know, like,
I would rather look at an MQ fill-in than look at most things, honestly.
Yeah,
like I love his fill-in so much, and he it's like, I don't know, like every time you see him doing it in action, like you said, it's just like high art.
About placement though, like he's yeah. really good at like looking at, like if you look at like the old photos of like where he does like back-to-back fill-ins, they're like perfectly spaced apart and perfectly sized. Like he knows about that shit. He like counts his fucking steps, or I don't know, like I see him do some shit, like he knows like where to place things, and he'll just do graffiti, you know, like sometimes it's just a tag on a wall, but it's like placed really well, like not just like, because that's another cool thing, like with tags, like you can kind of see the there's a motion or whatever in the tags.
Yeah,
and I nerd out on all the shit because I'm like into like regional graffiti, like Philly graffiti, like I like get in, like nerd out on that, like not do it, but like Philly sick, like dudes that are like 7 years old painting Philly and bomb, and you're like, wow, that's fucking dope. Like there's like father son combos, you know, out, and like San Francisco, like the bus hopping, like that's something so regional and it's so weird. Like these dudes like make their own, well, they get old markers, like some of them are like markers from like the 90s, you know, and they make the, or they find these weird inks, or they make ink that stains like the fucking plastic. Mm-hmm. Like they just do all this weird shit and you can't find out about that shit really on the, like that shit's not on the internet, you know. You can get a marker that maybe looks similar, but like it's so weird, it's like amazing. And they're all like, you know, a lot of them are like high school kids and they have like sick, you know, beefs on there. They like cross each other out a bunch, and like that was something like I love that shit, like being around, like getting to see that firsthand, just like bus hopping. Like I didn't do a ton of it, but I some of my friends were like bus hoppers, and like just the whole history like on that is like, and it's not very well documented, so it's like, to for me that shit's kind of like the best. I don't know, I'm just like, yeah, that's for me, like graffiti's, I like graffiti, it's like a hobby, but like I don't like care, like I don't need like up, I'm not like, oh, I need to get up, like I don't know, I just like to do graffiti, and like, but I'm also way into this, like I'm into this shit, you know, like,
yeah, yeah,
the fucking history of it, but not like, yeah, it's like my history is skewed, it's not like, oh, like Style Wars, like, and like I know about everything, like no, it's just like for some reason like one thing will catch my eye and I'm like, oh, I want to find out about that.
Yeah. So. Bro, I gotta say thank you for doing this and you know, letting us in your gigantic spot.
It's not real. My spot, but yeah, zone. Yeah, I don't even know what I said, dude.
But, like, no, whatever. It was amazing, yo. Dude, I want to say thank you so much, bro.
I just like went on a stoner rant.
Could listen to your stories all day, bro.
Thanks, bro.
Hell yeah.
Peace.